This podcast is brought to you by ClearBridge Investments. Meet an evolving economy confidently with ClearBridge Active Equities, the foundation of a resilient portfolio. ClearBridge, a Franklin Templeton company. Go to clearbridge.com to learn more.
Please stay tuned for important disclosure information at the conclusion of this episode.
Welcome to Investing Insights. I'm your host, Ivana Hampton. The age of AI appears to have arrived. OpenAI's popular chatbot is answering questions from millions of people, and Microsoft has invested billions of dollars in the startup. The tech titan has also taken an early lead in the AI race, but others are also benefiting from the craze. Morningstar Research Services Senior Equity Research Analyst Dan Romanoff has written a report on Microsoft's AI bet, and Dan is joining the podcast. Dan, let's kick off this conversation with OpenAI's origin story. Talk about the founders, their original mission, and where they are today.
Yeah, great. So 2015 or thereabouts, you had a group of sort of tech visionaries and luminaries and sort of academics and like accomplished professionals in AI. And those names include Sam Altman, who's, you know, one of the co-founders. He's the CEO now. Elon Musk, Peter Thiel. Greg Brockman is sort of one of the AI minds that was behind all this. And then there was just like a long list of who's who kind of investors. You had like AWS was involved, Infosys was involved. So there were, you know, sort of like large corporate VC entities. And that's kind of the, you know, the names of it. And the initial mission was to sort of make AI friendly and make AI sort of benefit all of humanity. And that was something that they stressed sort of repeatedly over and over for a few years. So that was sort of the foundational, you know, elements of it and some of the people involved. And it's supposed to be a nonprofit. And I think that's also an important point in the story. Not that it matters so much, but eventually you had Microsoft come in and invested $1 billion initially a few years ago. And then more recently, it's believed to be $10 billion. So, I mean, big numbers are being thrown around. And at some point, they changed it to a for-profit. Like a capped for-profit. So Microsoft can earn a return on it, but it's sort of limited to 100 times their initial investment. So there's plenty of upside for Microsoft. But so, you know, it's not a nonprofit anymore. So like that has evolved and, you know, there's been some criticism of that. But realistically, this is a very expensive sort of prospect and you can't just on the good graces of others, sort of suck in all of these billions of dollars and like people not hope to make a return on, you know, what is kind of like the next thing. So that's kind of where we're at now. You know, there's been movement. I don't think like Elon Musk is not involved anymore. For example, he's recently started his own AI company. He was concerned about overlap between hiring the same people at Tesla to do self-driving cars and AI. So there's been some changes along the way, but it's not a not-for-profit anymore. And at this point, OpenAI is pretty much a household name. So that's definitely an evolution as well.
And a big moment happened last year. OpenAI dropped ChatGPT-4. Millions of people tried it out. What made that release a groundbreaking moment in AI?
Yeah, so in November of 2022, it was just one day. It's, by the way, here's ChatGPT. And, you know, it's like, you know, as a tech person, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Let me try this. And so I think that's what millions of people did. And in fact, I think it took, they said 5 days to get 1 million users. That is a crazy statistic, you know, and just sort of like this, I won't call this a social media product, but, you know, it's just like a viral usage instance. That is a huge number of users. And, you know, a couple months later, it was 100 million users. And again, like that is way beyond anything that like Facebook or whoever was doing. So the popularity and sort of the speed at which this took off is crazy. And I think it's because we've all had experiences with like chatbots before, you know, Verizon, Comcast. I have a, you know, customer service issue. It's not a great experience, right? It's very robotic. It's very rigid. And, you know, you're suffering through like answering these questions you know are not relevant, right? And all of a sudden, I'm interacting with ChatGPT. People are interacting with like a highly advanced AI product. And it is sort of groundbreaking because there it is laid bare for everyone, like on November 30th, that like this is the future. And it's so far beyond what we had seen before from a chatbot or sort of any I don't know, any of our limited experiences with AI. And it was a lot closer to, you know, like HAL from 2001 or, you know, like the Terminator, not that there's a robot chasing me around, but, you know, it's like you can sort of start to bridge that gap as a person, right? So, like, I think a lot of people are doing that and, you know, maybe that's far-fetched, but, like, you know, you can sort of see it now, whereas before you're like, yeah, sure.
So what did you think of it when you tried it out?
Oh, I mean, I played with it for hours. My wife was giving me such a hard time. She was getting so mad at me. And I sat there asking, you know, ChatGPT to write TV pilots and to write songs and to, like, take on the persona of this person and then write a speech about this topic. And it was a lot of fun. I was blown away by the capabilities. And sort of on that same night, and I literally sat there for hours, on the same night I played around with DALL-E, which is their image generation tool, OpenAI's image generation tool. And it's kind of the same thing. I was just blown away by, like, you know, you can use text inputs, you know, like draw me a picture, you know, of Christopher Walken staring at a sunset in an impressionist style. I put it in a report I wrote because it was so funny. You know, I was trying to show my wife, like, look at this, look what this did. And then you can start editing it all on the fly again, just using natural text. So the capabilities were amazing. And it was just like this free tool. And, like, as a tech person, I sort of immediately grasped, like, some of the, you know, the implications of what will come from this. But just as a human, I'm like, this is so fun. So, I mean, that was my experience with it. But just from a technology standpoint, it's truly amazing. So I appreciate the fun element, but also the advancement made.
I'm glad you were able to express your creativity using OpenAI.
Yeah, my kids laughed more than my wife did, that's for sure.
So, Dan, Microsoft and OpenAI, they formed this partnership. Microsoft invested billions of dollars. What is Microsoft getting in return?
Right. So Microsoft gets two things, I think, out of this partnership. The first is pretty obvious, right? They get the ability to commercialize certain OpenAI products, you know, sort of early versions of the large language model. They're on GPT-4 now. So Microsoft gets to infuse that into their own software. So they're sort of doing that as rapidly as humanly possible. So you already see a couple of products actually generating revenue for Microsoft. And then secondly, they get, this is important to me, they get an exclusive tie-up where all of OpenAI's AI instances run off of Microsoft Azure. So to me, that is almost the more important part is they get, like, all of the knowledge from running AI models and sort of, like, what it takes to do that in the cloud. There's a lot of learning, a lot of sort of intangible asset, a lot of knowledge-based assets there. So that's really important for, you know, developing a lead in a technology product. So, and they're definitely, you know, sort of ahead of everyone at this point. So I think those are the two things I would highlight.
But the deal's not, like, exclusive. I mean, talk about what else is worthwhile about it.
Yeah, so the exclusive part is that all of OpenAI's instances run on Azure. So that is exclusive. What's not exclusive is OpenAI still can go around selling their API, which is, you know, basically access to the large language models that they've created. They can go sell that to anyone they want. So you see, like, basically every one of my companies, I hear management teams saying, yeah, we're introducing, like, a ChatGPT sort of instance in whatever product we're selling. And you hear it from pretty much everyone. I mean, from Salesforce to RingCentral, like, everyone's talking about it. So that's what OpenAI is doing. But that Microsoft gets the, like, access to what everyone is doing with AI, you know, like, it's all, if OpenAI stuff is all running on Azure, there's a lot of knowledge there. So a lot of learnings that other companies just don't have access to and won't have access to. So I think that is really important. And that's probably the main thing.
So PitchBook has estimated that the AI market size set at $2.5 billion last year. Now others are saying that it's worth $1 trillion. What's your view?
Yeah, I mean, $1 trillion is kind of nuts, right? I mean, like, I think we all, software analysts anyway, tend to agree that the market for software is around $800 billion. So to say that the market for AI is $1 trillion is totally nuts, right? It's like basically all of software at that point. And that's clearly not true. So $2.5 billion is, you know, is probably closer to the truth for generative AI, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. But AI has been around for a while, so, like, if you kind of just tried to more generally size the AI market, you probably could come up with something that is, I don't know, at least probably in the $15, $20 billion range. And that would include stuff like Salesforce's Einstein and Adobe Sensei. Those are pretty powerful, but sort of previous generation AI instances that help with decision making and analytics and sort of make predictions. But you see AI everywhere. So like Google search, Amazon search, if you're looking for a product, all of that is algorithm driven and like AI infused. And like, if you, you know, like how much revenue do we include from AWS and how much do we include from Google? It's not really a separate revenue line. So, you know, probably you shouldn't include much direct revenue, but it, you know, it is a market that exists and is substantial already. But the generative AI stuff, yeah, is pretty small. I mean, OpenAI was reportedly generating $50 million in revenue last year, which is, you know, basically nothing. So, you know, this is very nascent technology and, you know, it's very exciting. So, and I'm sure it will be pretty big within a few years. But we're talking billions of dollars, not maybe $10 billion, you know, within a few years, but certainly not $1 trillion.
So just not yet.
No.
Well, Microsoft has made several AI investments, including in NVIDIA. The chipmaker stock has skyrocketed this year. What role is NVIDIA playing in Microsoft's pursuit of AI dominance?
Yeah, so NVIDIA, I mean, like this applies a little more broadly than just Microsoft, because NVIDIA is, they basically make the most powerful and kind of the only GPUs really. So these like graphics processors just have a way of serially processing data, which is sort of more efficient than linear processing that you'd get from just say an Intel, you know, desktop processor. That's the super high level difference. But like if I were to build a computer, you know, at home, which we do, like I can go pay a couple $100 and get a pretty nice Intel desktop processor. If I wanted to go buy the latest NVIDIA GPU, it would be loosely $40,000. So like there's a little bit of a different price point. And you saw the quarter that NVIDIA, so I'm not the NVIDIA analyst, but just say you saw the quarter they just put up. I mean, the stock was up 30% or whatever it was. They just crushed it. And basically everyone from Google to Microsoft to Amazon, if you want to do anything in model training or like, you know, AI running inferences, but especially on the training side, you kind of need processing power like that, because you basically are going to run racks of servers for like a month straight to ingest all of this data. It's 24/7, just like so much data coming in, basically the entire internet coming in, and it takes a long time to process that. So you need, you know, basically the most efficient kind of processing capability. So that's what NVIDIA brings to the table. And if you're Amazon, if you're Google, and now Microsoft as well, they're developing their own processors basically that can sort of do that task more efficiently. And so what ends up happening if you're Microsoft or if you're Amazon, you have Azure, AWS, you kind of have a menu of like services that you offer for AI. And if I'm the person who wants to use Azure to train one of these large language models, I can sort of pick which processor I want to do it on. So I want to do it on an NVIDIA processor, it's going to cost me this much per hour. If I want to do it on whatever, an Intel processor, it's going to cost me this much. If I want to do it on an internally developed like TPU from Google or the Trainium from that's a Amazon's internally developed chip. If I want to do it on the Trainium, it's going to cost this much. So they all have different performance and price sort of parameters, and so that's the difference. But in terms of doing these large language model training instances, the flexibility that a GPU offers from NVIDIA is important, because you don't necessarily know the direction that the training is going to take or like what, say, problems, for lack of a better word, will come up. So the GPU offers the most flexibility. So that's why they're sort of, and this is all so new, so there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, and I've heard it said from pretty advanced people in the AI community that no one really knows how these like AI instances work, you know, like no one sort of is responsible for the whole thing. So like you got a bunch of engineers that are like, you know, teaching something how to think or, you know, produce answers. And so no one really knows exactly what's going to happen when you start unleashing all this data into a model you created. So so the flexibility offered by an NVIDIA GPU sort of helps cope with some of that.
So its advantages, the flexibility and the power that it provides
Yes, you actually should do the answers because you're much faster at and much more succinct than I am.
I am listening to you. You are educating me and the audience, and I appreciate that. So what is Morningstar's long-term view on NVIDIA?
Well, I mean, from a stock perspective, I'm not sure where we even are on that. I know our analyst is just from a company perspective, you know, sort of would echo, or maybe I'm echoing what they're saying, but they, you know, they would say the same thing. They are basically the sort of single source for high-end GPUs. The only other option there is really AMD, which owns ATI. And those are kind of the two. It's very high-end stuff, and generally though, the company, from a stock perspective, I quite honestly am not sure, you know, where they fall on that.
Well, our audience can go to Morningstar.com to get some more details on that. That was part one of Microsoft Bets Big on AI, What Investors Should Know. Dan will share his long-term outlook on Microsoft in part two. Thanks to him for providing insights on the AI race, including NVIDIA's resurgence. I'm also thanking video producer Daryl Lannard, and I appreciate you for checking out Investing Insights. Subscribe to Morningstar's YouTube channel to see new videos from our team. And you can hear market trends and analyst insights from Morningstar on your Alexa devices. Say, play Morningstar. I'm Ivana Hampton, a senior multimedia editor here at Morningstar. Take care.
This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. The views and opinions of guests on this program are not necessarily those of Morningstar Inc. and its affiliates. While this guest may license or offer products and services of Morningstar and its affiliates, unless otherwise stated, he or she is not affiliated with Morningstar and its affiliates. Morningstar does not guarantee the accuracy or the completeness of the data presented herein. Morningstar Research Services is a subsidiary of Morningstar Inc. and is registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Morningstar Research Services shall not be responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other losses resulting from or related to the information, data analyses, or opinions, or their use. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of principal. Individuals should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile before making any investment decision.